What a wonderful day it's been already, singing and praying together. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and turn to Psalm 119. If you have trouble finding that, it's probably right there in the middle. Psalm 119, our kind of target verse is 11. We'll be looking at several verses today, but Psalm 119, 11, as Pastor Matt has alluded to, I will be preaching today about the spiritual discipline of meditating on God's Word, and next week, Lord willing, of prayer. It's a kind of two-part mini-series. I like to do that at the beginning of the year. It's just good to be reminded of some things, and while we're all making our New Year's resolutions to get our physical bodies in shape, why not our spiritual bodies as well? So this morning, Psalm 119, verse 11, I'm going to ask you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word today. The Word of God says this: I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your Word, and I pray today that we would indeed store it in our hearts, hide it in our hearts, Lord, so that we might not sin against you. In fact, just the opposite, so that we might be more pleasing servants to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, one of the things I've done today is I'm going to really confuse you, because I'm going to use verses of Scripture from different places in the Psalm and also different versions of the text. So we've got King James, New American Standard, we've got ESV. I've chosen those because they highlight different portions of the text that I wanted to highlight. As a matter of fact, this morning I stumbled just a minute ago because I realized that my main verse was King James, and I read it out of the English Standard because the title of the sermon does not make sense unless you're looking in the King James, which says, "Thy word I have hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And that's the one we probably memorized as kids, right? If you memorize that verse, that's the one: "Thy word I've hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And it's not just we who've memorized it. That's a famous verse. That's a powerful verse. That's a verse that a man named Howard Rutledge had memorized. Who is Howard Rutledge, you ask? Well, thanks for asking. Howard Rutledge was a POW in the Vietnam War, and he was captive, I think, for around 7 years. But it wasn't just him. It was several men, several different experiences across the Vietnam War, probably in other wars and other places. And these men experienced torture physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So one of the things that they had that the enemy could not take away was something that they could hide in a place that they could not find, and that was the Word of God hidden in their hearts. Some of them found some other places to hide the Word of God. There are stories of men hollowing out bars of soap and sticking pieces of toilet paper in there where they had written the Word of God with makeshift pens and ashes. And in one case, this man, Howard Rutledge, he found pieces of the Word of God because he was cleaning the latrines. And some of the officers in the North Vietnam, Vietnamese camp thought it would be funny to use the Word of God as toilet paper. And what they intended for evil, God used for good. And it snuck the Word of God into the camp, unbeknownst to them. They had the Word of God hidden in their heart. Let me read you a quote from Howard Rutledge. He said, "Scripture and hymns might be boring to some, but it was the way we conquered our enemy and overcame the power of death around us." They meditated on God's Word, and it got them through some of the most excruciating conditions a human being could endure. I doubt you and I have ever been there. I pray you haven't. But we've been in tough times. We've been in times where we needed a weapon and we didn't have anything with us, and the weapon we might have had wasn't any good. We needed the sword, the two-edged sword of God's Word, to fight against what was happening, to fight against the sorrow, to fight against the doubt, to fight against the depression, to fight against the people, the enemies around us in all shapes and forms. Today, I want to speak to you about that. That weapon, developing it, sharpening it through meditation. Now, I say meditation today, and that might throw some of you off. Maybe you're thinking like, whoa, this I didn't sign up for this. I came to a Baptist church. We're not going to be crossing our legs and doing some weird poses. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Actually, it's the opposite of that. That's the world has hijacked the word meditation. I'm reading to you from the Scriptures. The Scriptures talk about meditating on God's Word. In Eastern mysticism, meditation means empty your mind, take what's there and remove it. Empty it out. Now, what happens when you empty your mind? Something is going to fill it. Not always good things. But God tells us to do the opposite. We don't empty our minds. We fill our minds with God's Word. We fill it with the Word of God. We fill our hearts with God's Word. So I wanted to tell you quickly, before I say, well, this is what meditation is good for, what are we talking about? It's very, very simple. It is the simplest thing possible. It is the filling of your mind with God's Word by thinking deeply about it. Not generally, but specifically. We've read a text today. That's a great example. Thinking deeply about what it means. What does it mean to store up God's Word in your heart or hide it in your heart? That sort of thing. Thinking deeply about it, applying it to your life, praying over it, chewing on it, ruminating on it, whatever word you might use, contemplating it. This is what we're talking about. It is not complicated, but it is an indispensable step. It's an indispensable step. Psalm 119 is a beautiful chapter. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, for what it's worth. And, you know, all the chapter divisions are not necessarily inspired. The Psalms are inspired because they came that way, but it is the longest one. And it is not about salvation. It is not about worship. It's not about rules and regulations, so to speak, but it is about God's Word. That tells us a lot. How important is God's Word to us? Well, we won't get into every last detail of Psalm 119. It's a fascinating psalm, by the way. I would encourage you to read deeply about it and study it. There's some incredible kind of hidden gems there that I won't go into today, but it is a psalm that is 100% about God's Word. As a matter of fact, I might be speaking out of ignorance here. I hope I don't misspeak, but I think there's only two verses in the entire psalm that do not directly mention God's Word in some fashion or form. You think about how many there are, that's pretty incredible. Some call us to respond to God's Word. Some tell us the benefits of God's Word or relying on it. And some are just declarations about the worth and beauty of God's Word. Today we're going to look at reasons or benefits of us from this text of meditating on God's Word. Now, I'm going to say a number here. Now, don't get nervous, okay? All right? Six, all right? Six benefits. We will move quickly through these. What I wanted to do for you today is to whet your appetite for meditating on God's Word. As I said, if I just got up here and explained to you how to do it, this would be an incredibly short sermon, and some of you are thinking that would have been nice. But we're going to talk about some benefits to whet your appetite so that you're like, you know what, I need to get in on some of that. So the first today, meditating on God's Word allows us to obey God. In verse 11 right here, "Thy word have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." This is the representative verse, in my opinion, of the psalm. It encapsulates what it means in a nutshell. You've hidden God's Word in your heart. That means we have memorized it. We have tucked it down. We've meditated on it to the point that we know it. It's like a precious memory. You have those, don't you? A beach vacation with your family years ago, or the smell of your grandmother's kitchen, or something like that. It's just a precious memory. It's hidden in your heart. It's the New American Standard says, treasure these things. It's a treasure because it's valuable to you. Not like in a safe deposit box where I tuck it away and never think about it. It's in my heart. It's a part of me. It's buried deep down inside of me. And you don't get that by reading a text once, putting it down, walking away, and never looking at it again or never thinking about it again. You get that by meditating on it, thinking about it, turning it over in your mind, praying about over it. You know, one mistake I think people make when they are reading God's word is they read too much of it. Now, okay, what am I saying here? Did he just say you can read too much of God's word? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever read a passage or you checked off the box where you read your amount of scripture and then you got up and walked away and you were like, what did I just read? Yeah, I know you did. Every one of us has done that. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read that much, but what I am saying is if you can't understand it and take it in and think about it, then what good has it been for you? One verse meditated on is worth 100 forgotten about. If you find a verse that blows you away, knocks your socks off, it causes you to want to obey God, it causes you to want to worship God, to change your life, if it's encouraging you, if it's lifting you up, don't feel like you got to push it aside and keep reading the rest of the chapter. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to say for you to do the opposite and to read a lot, but for now, take this for what it's worth. If you find something, meditate on that, and it can help you more than reading things if you're not meditating on it. Find the time to do that, to chew on it. Secondly, meditating on God's word can heal dry souls. It can heal dry souls. Verse 83 says, "For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes." Wineskins are made of leather, and they dry out very easily. And one way to assure that is to take leather and smoke it. It becomes brittle and practically useless. A few years ago, I inherited a couple old leather knife cases from a grandfather and an uncle. And that might seem like an odd thing to inherit, but for me, it's important. I value those things. To me, it's just something very powerful about carrying a pocket knife or something in my hand that my grandfather used or something like that. So I inherited these, but they were brittle. They were so old that they would literally crumble in your hands if you mishandled them. They would just crumble into dust like burnt toast. And that's what the psalmist is saying in this passage. I feel so dry inside. I feel like I could just crumble away to dust. Have you ever felt like an old wineskin, just brittle, broken, useless? Like your prayer life was dry? Well, the psalmist says it's in these days that the word of God can revive our spirit. It can breathe life back into our spirit. Do you know what I did with those old knife cases? I didn't just leave them. I got some leather oil and I soaked those cases in oil. And very gently and very methodically, I began to massage the oil into the fibers of the leather. And over time, those knife cases became supple and pliable again. You could put a knife into it without it falling apart. It was useful. Let the oil of the Word of God soak into you, into your heart. You'll become pliable again and useful to God's kingdom again. God's word is like a healing balm. It's like a salve to a wound. We rub it in and let it soak. You've got to let it sit and soak for it to work. Thirdly, meditating on God's word will cause us to praise God. This is all throughout Psalm 119. Let me read a couple for you. Psalm 108, or 119, 108. "Oh, accept the freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules." Verse 48, "And I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Now, I don't know about you, but I love to sing about rules, right, and statutes. Some of my favorite songs are about statutes. You might think not, but rightly understood and through meditation, the entire Bible becomes your hymn book. How about the blood of the Lamb? Do we love to sing about the blood of the Lamb? Well, where do you think we find in the pages of Scripture about the need for a blood sacrifice? We find it in those boring, detailed laws and rules in Leviticus and Numbers. Let me tell you, every ox, every bull, every ram in the book of Leviticus is a hymn crying out to Christ about the power and the blood of Jesus. You would not know about it if it were not for the meditation on the boring law of God, right? On the statutes of God's word. The psalmist says in verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things." He's asking God to do something for him. You see, when we meditate, it's not just us doing something, it is God doing something as well. So when you pray, or when you read the text, it has to be married with prayer. We ask God, "Illumine my eyes, open my heart that I may see what is here." Any heathen can read, literally any heathen can read the Bible and understand the text. But we have something different. We have the Spirit of God that can illuminate a text. It can apply it to our hearts in a way that others can't understand. "Open my eyes" is a prayer we ought to pray often as we're chewing on and meditating on God's word. He will make it wonderful to you. Fourthly, God's word brings revival. Now, I know I just said something about revival. Forgive me. It overlaps, okay? God's word brings revival. Verse 93. "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." The New American Standard says here, "You have revived me." Are you here today weary, longing? Maybe you're listening or watching, and you're tired, you're empty. You're at the end of your rope. You're longing for a refreshing of the Spirit, for God to revive your soul. I will ask you a simple question. How is your meditation going? Are you spending time not just reading God's word, but thinking deeply, chewing on it, getting out all of the marrow? Maybe you are. And if you are, you're doing the right things. But if you're not, you dare not pray for revival without meditating on God's word. God's word is the fertilizer for revival. It is what your soul needs. Nothing else can bring life to your soul. We can sing songs all day, but if we don't think about what we're singing, then it's just a clanging cymbal. You can read a chapter a day of the Bible, and if it doesn't sink in, it's useless. Acts of ministry with no thought to why I'm doing or who I'm doing it for is not going to help. Let the words of God that you have hidden in your heart have their proper effect. Bring them to mind again. Remind yourself of them. Think about them. Think about who God is. Think about what God has done. Think about who you are and what you've done. Now think about God's forgiveness. Think about where you fall short. Think about where He fills the gap. Think about God's grace, God's glory. Think about God's forgiveness. We could go on. When recognition and repentance meet, then comes revival. People say, I pray for revival, but if your prayers are not fueled by the Word of God, it's not going to happen. Word of God brings revival. The Word of God brings revival. Fifthly, meditating on God's Word may just keep you up at night. It may just keep you up at night. Verse 148, one of my favorite passages in Psalm 119, maybe in the Scriptures, it's such a real picture to me. He says this, "My eyes are awake before the night watches of the night, before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." It is my meditation all the day. This is something that we don't just set aside an hour in the morning or 20 minutes in the morning. Okay, I'm going to think about God's word for 20 minutes and the rest of the day is mine. Now, I'm not saying you walk around, you know, oblivious to the world around you studying God's Word. That would be maybe great for a season, but we can't live like that. But we always have God's Word on the ready. That is why we hide it in a place that we always can get to, right? We hide it in our hearts so that we have it when we need it. There was a season of time when I did a little bit of an experiment where I read a book of the Bible every day, the same book, and I remember thinking, man, with just a little bit of God's Word that I have kind of started to commit to memory here, it comes up all the time. I was shocked when I have God's Word hidden in my heart how often it comes up. You know, I would think, man, you can't really apply the Bible to every situation, but man, it was popping up everywhere because it was hidden in my heart. Look at Psalm verse 119, verse 40, 148 here. The psalmist looks forward to the night watches when it's quiet. There's no distractions. There's nothing left to do but think, but meditate. Maybe you're like me and sometimes you're awake at night and you can't help but think and your mind is running and racing and you're thinking about the day and you're thinking about plans and you're thinking about a conversation that you had that you, oh, I forgot to mention this, or I wonder if he's going to do that, or we're thinking. And the psalmist says, I'm taking advantage of that. It's in those night watches I'm remembering and I'm meditating on the God's Word that I've read that day. And if you think about this, oil was expensive. Now, this guy might have been rich. I kind of want to say it was David. I don't know. But the psalmist might have had money to spare. But I don't think the point that we're to get from this is that he's up reading the Word. I think the point that we are to get from this is it's dark. It's at night. And I have the Word in my heart, and I'm thinking on what I've read. I'm thinking on God's Word in the dark watches of night. Even when I can't read it, I'm meditating on it constantly, all day into the night. Sixth and lastly, God's Word brings pure and righteous living. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word, or keeping it. Verse 59, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. It's two parts of the same coin here, two parts of the same idea. How can a young man keep his way pure? This is the psalmist asking the question. What am I to do about this? I want to be pure. How can I do it? By guarding it according to your word. Okay, great. What does that mean? In verse 59, we have an answer. I turned my feet to your testimony. So there's two ideas here. There's the want to, and then there's the action. God's Word brings pure and righteous living. It causes us to desire to live a pure life. And then it does something further. It propels us into action. Here the psalmist says, I turned my feet to your testimonies. I did something about it. The reason we meditate on God's Word is so that we can change, right? It's so that we don't remain exactly as we are now. We're doing something about it, even if that's just to change our perspective, even if it's to grow in our knowledge, but we are changing, we're acting, we're doing something. It can bring changes to our lives. And this spiritual discipline, I believe, is the cornerstone of our lives. The discipline, not just of reading the Word of God, but meditating on it, thinking deeply about it. It's pretty simple. Without God's Word, we would not know what God expects of us. We wouldn't know how to live. Without God's Word, we wouldn't have wisdom to guide us. Without God's Word, we wouldn't have the encouragement we need to walk. Without God's Word, we would not be able to make it through those deep, dark valleys. And without God's Word, we wouldn't even know who Jesus is, why he came, or what he did. We would know about the free offer of salvation. God's word is imperative. It is the cornerstone of our faith. So I'm going to challenge us this year in 2021. Not with one of those challenges that makes you feel bad if you don't do it. It's not a check the box off or you're a bad person kind of a challenge. That tends to be discouraging in the way that is unnecessary. But just a challenge in general to develop a habit of meditating on God's Word. This is up to you. However you're taking in God's Word, whether you're reading it, studying it, whether you're listening to a podcast or a Bible on tape, wow, that's pretty old. Sorry, young people, MP3 or whatever the Bible app, Bible on tape. I suggest James Earl Jones, Bible on tape. Is he still alive? However you're taking in the Word of God, meditating on it, thinking deeply about it, applying it to your life, you will be surprised also by how much you can commit to memory that way. Just memorizing God's Word is good, but I think we're killing two birds with one stone here. If we meditate on it, we do the same thing. We hide it in our hearts. Something I alluded to earlier, think about reading entire books in one sitting. Now, I know I said don't read too much, but sometimes the meaning of a book is hidden kind of because we jump in and we jump out. One of my favorite examples of that is the book of Jonah. You can read Jonah in about 10 or 15 minutes. Now, if you just jump in and read a verse every day for a month, it's hard to get the sense of the story. Think about doing that. Take the Bible like a storybook, like it is, like a novel. Sit down and read it like you would a book. How many of you have spent an hour reading a novel at some point? I know I have. That's a good way to get the story down, the flow of a text. You won't remember everything, but sometimes we can meditate on a story. Thinking about it. Get lost in the Scripture. Don't skip over familiar passages. That's a place we feel like, well, I know what that says, I'm going to move on. Don't skip over it. Read it with fresh questions, with new eyes. Maybe you're going to read the Bible in a year. Maybe that's a commitment that you've placed for yourself. We've done that here. And the tendency there is I skipped a day, so I might as well just give up. But let's don't do that. If you skip a day, you know what? So what? It's 366 days for you. That's okay. You can do the same. You can keep reading. Take in the Word of God. Meditate on it this year. And I want to challenge you especially, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm not leaving you out. I challenge you, read the book of John. Take a look at who Jesus is, at his claims. See if it doesn't make a lot of sense to you and impact you in a powerful way. In just a moment, we're going to have a time to respond this morning. And to a message like this, that's not the sense of altar call sort of a thing, I don't think, but I think every single person in this room can respond. Everyone can respond in a way this morning, just a commitment to meditating on God's Word this year. Maybe if you already are, even more, or continuing. Thinking about it, praying through God's Word, valuing it, treasuring it, hiding it in your heart. And if there's a question you have today about salvation or who Jesus is this morning or what it means to be a follower of Christ, you can catch myself or Pastor Matt after the service. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to talk with you about that. Or if you have questions about membership here at First Baptist, we'd love to talk with you about that too. Or if we can't talk about it here, to set up a time to talk later. But before you go today, think deeply on God's Word. Think deeply on how we're reading and meditating on God's Word this year. 2021. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for your word. You could have left us without it. You very well could have created this world and walked away and left us ignorant of who you are and who created us and where we came from. But you've given us this wonderful gift. You've told us the story from beginning to end. How dare we not take that advantage and read it? I pray today that I would take up this challenge and meditate on your word in the night watches and in the midday and all the day long this year in 2021 so that I can be closer to you and that I might not sin against you. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.